How was the winter of 2016-2017 from an apple tree's point of view?
Well, you know, I think that when you look back on some of the winters that we've had, you know, like winter 2013-14, which was such a brutal winter, and then 2015 when we didn't have a lot of snow cover, those were real tough winters for growing fruit. The last few winters have been really, I think, phenomenal. And I think that this year we've had a really good winter. The one part, you know, we have a little bit of warming, you know, but this was in February versus March. So, you know, the trees were hopefully still smart enough to stay dormant and not try to push too quick. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're looking like we're on a good track here.
Well, that's good news. And it is spring. Yeah, spring is on its way. And even tomorrow, it's going to be in the 40s. What are you doing in the orchard this time of year?
Well, it's really important, you know, at this time of the year, before the trees come out of dormancy, that you want to start thinking about pruning. And just, you know, just a few tips on pruning. You know, what I would recommend that you go out to your tree. Get yourself, what we use is a bypass pruner. Get yourself a little bit of bleach with that, like a half of a cup of bleach into a gallon of water. And this is going to prevent fire blight. And this is really important that if you're pruning and your trees had fire blight, that you want to be able to clean those pruners so that you're not passing that fire blight from tree to tree. So we recommend cleaning your shears as you're moving from different sets of trees. And then now as you start your pruning process, you know, you take a look at the tree. Anything that's vertical up or vertical down, you want to get pruned off. And then as branches that are growing into the tree, you'd like to get those pruned off. And, you know, there's these things called water sprouts, and the water sprouts are something that, you know, are the vertical ones that go straight up. You know, make sure you cut those off because that's going to prevent the airflow going through the tree. And there's one tip to cutting these off. And as the branch touches the smaller branch that you're going to prune off, as that touches the bigger branch, there's a ring around there called the hormone ring. And if you cut it within like an eighth of an inch of that hormone ring, it's going to heal it really nice. And you won't have to apply any of these products to it to try to get it to heal off. So again, what you really want to try to do is that when you're pruning your trees, look for this little hormone ring or where this the smaller branch that you're going to prune off connects to the larger branch. There's going to be a ring around there, and you just want to cut it close to that ring. Don't cut the ring and get it within an eighth of an inch, and you'll be really surprised how well that will heal, and your trees then are going to do so much better.
So what you're describing is like almost like if you were just to hold your arms out at your sides, you want the horizontal branches more than the vertical ones.
You definitely want more horizontal branches. In fact, it goes back to something called apical dominance, and not to get too sophisticated, but if you're anything that's vertical is going to create wood, and if you want to create fruit, you want to be more horizontal. So if you have your branches more horizontal, it's going to be more, they're going to create more fruit spurs. If you have them more vertical, it's going to create more wood.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, actually, we started, my wife and I bought our farm back in 2002. We decided that we were going to buy a farm. We did. I asked her what she'd like to grow. She always wanted a little orchard. So the first year I put in 400 trees.
And, just a little orchard.
Yeah. And now it's just been growing. We just have such a passion. We love to grow fruit trees. We just have a passion. We get so excited about fruit trees and growing trees and trying to do everything we can to grow the most phenomenal fruit possible.
The snow is going to melt. The ground is going to thaw here pretty soon. And these trees are going to come back to life. Is there anything we need to do at that time of year?
Yeah. So now that we have the pruning done, and just to recap quickly on the pruning, you're going to, after you get done, you should be able to wave your hat through that tree to create good airflow. It's really important that you have good airflow through the tree to prevent any fungal issues on your fruit in your tree throughout the season. And remember, this is a tip. A dry leaf is a healthy leaf. So the more air that can go through that tree and dry those leaves off, the faster possible, the less problems you're going to have with having to manage fungicides. Now moving into what we should do with the trees in the spring, it's so important that we feed our trees. the spring of the year is a great time to be feeding the trees. And, you know, what we really recommend to start with is that people do a soil sample. And if they do a soil sample, they can take it to their co-op. They can analyze it. You can tell them you're growing fruit trees. They can tell you exactly what to put on. But for some reason, I don't know, most people, 90% of our customers, just don't do that. And so at least what we're going to recommend that you do is go out and put 10-10-10 or 20-20-20 around the drip line of the tree. And if you have a tree that's just say it's 1 inch in caliper, take a half a cup of that fertilizer and just sprinkle it around the drip line of the tree as soon as the frost is out of the ground so that that nutrition can begin wetting into the soil.
That sounds kind of simple.
Yeah, it is. And it's so important that we do that every spring. And we actually even have, I mean, that at a minimum is what you should be doing to keep your tree healthy. We actually have a much more robust nutrition program that we provide our trees because as they're growing fruit and you're really working your trees, they're requiring different nutrients at all different times of the year. So we actually do something called a foliar feeding also, where we're supplementing additional nutrition to the tree when they need it. And then also what we do is then we provide the tree the correct nutrition going into the winter. And if you do that, then the tree is going to be so much more cold hardy going into the winter. And those are some of the secrets that I think we need to know as we're trying to grow apple trees, you know, and we're pushing the limit in zone 3. And so by doing everything we can to provide the correct nutrition for our tree is going to be able to help our trees get through some of our harsh winters and they will have some of this nutrition stored into their stores and be available in spring.
What about people who maybe don't have an apple tree and they're kind of like you and your wife, they have some property, but they want to grow maybe not 400 trees, but a few. You know, what varieties and what kind of trees should they buy in this zone?
Well, what a great question. You know, when people think about buying trees, the first thing that comes to their mind is, you know, I think I'm going to buy a Honeycrisp tree. But they really don't ask themselves what rootstock I'm going to put it on. And so growing fruit trees is really, there's two primary components. It's what variety tree do I want, and then what rootstock do I want, because that rootstock is going to control the growth habit of the tree. So for example, if you had a big piece of property and you were creating a food plot for the animals, you might want to get a Honeycrisp tree on a standard rootstock. A standard rootstock is what's going to generate a tree that's going to be a full-size tree, 20 to 25 feet tall. And those types of trees are very useful for certain things, food plots. And now what's happened, because it takes like 7 to 10 years to get fruit on a standard tree, people become very impatient. They want instant gratification. So there's new plantings now called high density. The high density, they're using dwarfing rootstocks and semi-dwarfing rootstocks. But the one I'll talk about first is truly a dwarfing rootstock. And the dwarfing rootstock is like a Bud 9 rootstock, and that rootstock is extremely cold hardy, and that rootstock is a very, like I say, cold hardy, but that is only going to allow the tree to ever get to be maybe 8 feet tall or 10 feet tall. And what they're doing is they're planting these trees like 3 feet apart, and they're increasing their yield significantly, like 60% even in your production. But these trees do have to be supported, but that's something that's really moving fast right now. Many, many growers are moving to high density.
So is the trees are trellised basically on like wires or something, and then they can produce a lot. And yeah, we've been hearing a lot about that lately in the past several years. It seems to be the way things are moving here.
And that's why it's so hard to find some of these dwarfing rootstocks, because you literally, in most cases, have to go out and I mean, I've been ordering rootstocks for our trees and for the trees that we sell to our customers 3 years ahead of time. That's how long it takes me to get these. So I have to be looking out 3 years to be able to bring inventory and to have available for our customers here.
Wow. So are there some new exciting varieties of trees out this year?
you know, some of the new ones that we are really excited about is something that over the last few years, there was a lot of talk about they were crossing Honeycrisp with another apple, and we found out that it was called Black Arkansas. And they gave it a number. It was called MN55. And now, just late last year, they named this apple, and it's called First Kiss. And so you'll be able to come to Gelby's, and we're going to have a few this year, but we hope to have a lot in the next few years. You'll be able to come to Gelby's and get your first kiss.
Is this one of those apples that is, you know, that only orchards can grow?
This is a managed variety. And what when we say a managed variety, the university, this is a university owned, carries the contract on this apple. So yeah, you do have to be, you have to contact the university. You have to have a contract to grow this, and you have minimum quantities you have to grow into. So there's all kinds of requirements. But there are some other new ones out there that are also exciting that are not managed varieties that the average individual can plant. And so Sweet Tango was one that has gained tremendous popularity over the years. And I can't tell you how many calls we get for people wanting to buy Sweet Tango bare root trees from us. Well, we can't sell those because that's, again, a managed variety. But there's a new one called Kinder Crisp. And Kinder Crisp, actually, it's believed that it has the same parents as Sweet Tango. And this Kinder Crisp is now relatively new out there. And the beautiful thing about this Kinder Crisp is that it has really long storage. It has like 4 to 5 months of storage. It's a very crisp. It's a good eating apple. And so that's also one that's been something new and exciting out there for that person that's looking for a tree to plant. And it's been proven in Zone 3 at the Research Center in Grand Rapids. I believe they had some trials up there.
You know, you say you're ordering rootstock 3 years in advance. How, if people are looking to buy trees from a nursery like yours, and maybe from you, when should they be ordering trees?
Well, we take orders for trees like a year ahead of time because, you know, we're working with people on helping them design their orchard. We try to help people with the correct tree selection to get optimal pollination. Pollination is such a critical part of success that we want to make sure that if somebody wants this type of tree, that they have a good pollinator for it. So we help them with tree selection, rootstock selection, and now is the time. I mean, like I say, the people have been ordering trees since last April when we had our bare roots available. They would start ordering them in May for this next year. So we're taking orders every day for bare root trees right now for this spring.
Oh my goodness. So it's time. It's past time.
It's past time. And yeah, and the inventories are dropping fast.
So you have some classes coming up and you teach beginning and advanced apple. Tell us about your classes.
It started with when people come into the orchard in the fall. They come in and they look at this fruit and they say, my goodness, how do you do this? And we would love, that's a goal for my wife, Janet, and I, is that we love to be able to help people be successful growing fruit. That's just a passion that we have. Well, the thing is in the fall, we just do not have the time to sit down with people and go through some of the information they need to know because they say, well, what could I do? And it's just everything leads into something else. So that's why we started this beginner apple growing in the spring and advanced apple grower. And the beginning apple grower, actually, it talks about the very first thing is rootstock selection and then tree selection and then how to correctly plant your tree. We get into a little bit of detail on degree days, pollination, growth stages of your tree, fungal diseases, fire blight, and insects, nutrition, and training your trees. And then we just touch a little bit on pruning. And then in our advanced class, we take a deeper dive now into how to really create quality fruit and how to prune your tree, how to train your tree, and how to manage your tree. We've got what we think is a very regimented, integrated pest management program where we don't apply anything to our trees unless we absolutely have to. And so we share with people what we've learned over the years.
David, we just have just a little bit of time here, but can you really quickly tell us some of the things you're looking forward to this year at your orchard?
We are really looking forward to doing another big planting. We're planting more First Kiss again this spring, and in high density. We're planting more Sweet Tangle in high density. We're also planting Kinder Crisp because we're just so excited about that new variety. And, you know, we're getting ready for a big fall season. Every year we've just been so fortunate to have so many people from the local area that have come in and be part of Gilby's fall festivals and fall experiences.
That is David Gilbertson. He's the owner of Gilby's Nursery and Orchard in Aiken. Thanks for talking with us today.
You bet. Thank you so very much.